Tripper Stories.
Yo, yo, Slut Club. Now we are freaking back. It is Wednesday. I am here with you guys. You know that you changed my world. I've got that song in my head. It's so annoying. So fucking forgive me if I start singing Michael Jackson. Right. So today we are having another kink party. And I don't mean I'm going to be getting all freaky deaky and like giving you the sick commentary of me taking my shoes off and wiggling my toes in the air and lubing them up and rubbing them all over some big cock. No, that's not, that is not happening today. Maybe another day for you guys. But today we are kinking it up with Dr. Kink. He is back and I am thrilled to say I'm fucking here for it. I am so freak. Oh God, this. Okay, I'm still learning how to use the microphone. Okay, I'm so freaking here for it. It's ridiculous. Last week we had such a ball. So this week we're going to carry on talking about loads of other weird shit. Contraception. That's one thing I want a doctor to talk to me about, because personally for me, I am going through a bit of a heartbreak, a bit of a difficult situation, a relationship with my coil right now. And any girl who's got the freaking coil out there knows it's a love-hate relationship. It's like, okay, I don't want hormones from the pill, which, by the way, girls out there who do have it, more for you, because freaking hell, I did not handle it well, okay? I was spotty, I was fat, I did not deal with it well. Piece de resistance of this was that my vagina was literally like 105 years old and never got wet, no matter how much fisting I gave it, okay? So, me and my coil are having a bit of a moment. We're not talking right now. And I've been to the hospital a few times and been like, is it there? Has it gone up to my throat? Is it in my fucking silicone in my tits somewhere? Because it feels like we are not communicating well. However, I've had a scan and everything is fine. Unfortunately for that fucking thing, I can't rip it out like it's a tampon. It's got to stay embedded in there. And it's so freaking painful. So I want to talk to a doctor about it, okay? I know this is very not stripper stories of me, but this is just selfishly for my own benefit. That's right, hoes, for my own benefit. But I'm sure all of us will learn something because, I mean, there's lots of, like, what's the word? Success. I couldn't even get it out. Success stories with the coil. And my housemate being one of them, she got it. She loves it. She gets very little cramping. Me, it's like, okay, when I'm ovulating, I'm gonna die. When I'm on my period, yes, the crimson wave, I'm gonna die. So it's like, do I take it out? And when I got it put in, I nearly fainted, and they literally had to feed me sugar tablets and put my legs above my head because I nearly passed out from the pain. And anyone who knows me knows that my pain tolerance is quite high. Oh, that's a slut email. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not gonna reply to that yet. I will do that later. But yeah, anyone that knows me, that my tolerance is really high for pain, because obviously I love a whip, I love a gag, I love a strangle, you know, all of that good shit. So, I mean, I thought, oh yeah, a coil, a little tiny bit of copper coil. I mean, easy peasy. I've had a fist up my arsehole, so it's not like, you know, that's going to be a big deal. A tiny little bit of copper coil in my uterus. Oh, fucking how I was wrong. How I was fucking wrong. Literally, it's like having Quasimodo in there ringing the bells of Notre Dame. But yeah, it fucking is. Okay, so he's going to come on here and talk about that today. And he's going to talk about loads of other weird shit like BDSM. I want to know where that came from. Hysteria. I want to know where that came from. We touched on it last week. And I want to get right into his little brain. Very big brain. But I'm going to fucking get my face in there and fucking jizz all over the place and find out all this good shit that we all want to know. So, without further ado, I introduce to you my slut club, my Dr. Kink. Oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah. Wait.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. There you are. There you are. Welcome back to Stripper Freaking Stories.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me back.
Of course we were going to have you back. Last time I was literally frothing at the mouth, like asking you question after question. I was like, please stay. We want you for longer. So this week I was like, well, fucking your wish is my command. Here he is again. Mm-hmm. Dr. Freaking Kink. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I am.
Wicked. So last week we were talking about some really interesting stuff, like regarding hysteria. Mm-hmm. And we touched a little bit on it. Mm-hmm. You said that you've had a little read, like you kind of, you know a lot anyway, being a doctor yourself and like kind of hearing things and like a bit of the history and stuff. But that's something that really, really fascinates me, because I'm actually currently watching a program on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it's called Dirty John. Mm-hmm. And it's called Betty, what's her name? Betty Broderick, right. Now, it's like a well-known murder case that happened in America of a woman who basically lost her mind. Like, she was in a like a marriage for like 30 years with a guy who was like trained to become a doctor. And then he finally becomes a doctor and realizes there's not enough money in that. So he's going to train to become a lawyer. So he becomes a paralegal for like a... Have you heard about this? Oh, yeah, fair enough.
No, I mean, I was like, yeah, his decision, like
oh, his decision was good. Yeah, but you do it for the love of it, though, don't you, really? Come on.
Yeah, I guess you know, but I mean, people need to eat, though.
That's the truth. That is the truth. We could talk about this till we're blue in the face with Corona, like, pay the NHS more. But that's another story for another time. But anyway, so he does move on and he becomes, this is in the 60s anyway, so the doctors weren't even paid well enough in the 60s. And he moves on and becomes a lawyer. Now, he becomes really successful and starts his own, soliciting business? Oh, solicitors, they call it in the UK, but lawyer's practice. Yeah. And he ends up falling in love, or basically not falling in love, but just basically picking up the standard thing, the receptionist, and ends up marrying the receptionist and leaving his wife. Now, they end up having this court hearing for like 2 years or 3 years, where he takes full custody of the kids. He takes away all her money. He takes away all her homes. He takes away her complete standard of living. And she gets so fucking downtrodden and so mental that she ends up... Now, she's a sane human being at the beginning of this story. You see her in this Netflix program, and I've read a bit about it. She just becomes more and more, like, insane. And through, like, gaslighting and things like that, he's saying that she's crazy and that she's not, you know, she shouldn't think these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she ends up getting a gun and going into his house and shooting him and his wife dead. Oof. And now she's in prison for second-degree murder for, like, 30 years or something. But, I mean, there is no fucking hell hath no fury that a woman scorned. And that is literally that. Like, she lost the plot. But so hysteria, back to hysteria. I mean, obviously, we're not talking about going and shooting your boyfriends when you're feeling a little bit angry at them, right? But, like, I mean, no one wants that shit. But
hysteria kind of
was a bit like that, wasn't it? It was a bit like... women losing their minds slightly.
Yeah, true. No, that's right.
What can you tell us about? Give us some info.
I mean, some of the hysteria is no longer seen as an illness. It's not. It used to be specifically like only related to women. Like only women would get hysteria. A long time ago, this was what it was like.
Right.
It was only like an illness that only women would get.
Right.
Again, tied in mostly to like to sexuality and that sort of thing. Like women were seen as being bad for not having sex and having children.
Right.
And at the same time, seen as bad if they were having sex for like for pleasure.
Right. So basically, they were damned if they do and damned if they don't.
Yeah, that kind of thing, and that kind of the society was kind of like that back then.
Right. Yeah. Of course, it was.
And this caused lots of stress.
This caused women to lose their fucking marbles to the point where they were going to doctor's surgeries and being, you know, asking for a treatment, which was, what was the treatment?
So treatment initially, I mean, so it goes through various things. There's like a really good paper on this on the internet. And it goes, stretches back all the way to ancient Egypt. So like women used to have trouble. There was trouble back then as well.
Wow.
But again, not very, they talked about being sort of women were depressed, you know, they were like, it sounds very much like anxiety related, something related to anxiety.
Right.
And they did lots of strange things by placing like funny smelling substances near their mouths and noses so that they'd smell that. And yeah, doing really strange things. And they said that the uterus was moved into the wrong position, blah, blah, blah. No one was sure what was causing it at the time. Doing, really, really odd things. So this was like back 2000, 2000 BC, sort of. Yeah.
So basically women have been not suppressed, I would like to say that, but like, not happy with the lack of
dick. No, not happy for a long time. Yeah.
For the whole of time.
No, I think it was just a situation that they were put in. Like, I mean, we're living in like a very patriarchal society at the moment. I don't really like still. Yeah. It's like from day one, like Egyptian, ancient Egypt. I mean, all the way back then, it was a sort of like, yeah. So that's why I guess there's some stress that we can't explain out of that. And it's, I believe possibly due to, I mean, again, this is just me thinking out loud. Yeah. Again, I mean that so sex is your sex energy. That's your libido, is your like your life energy. It's what makes you, drives you forward to do things. And if in your mind you're like split in two ways about it, like in one hand you find it pleasurable, on the other hand, society views it as something bad, that if you do it, it's bad. Like you're going to get punished, you're going to go to hell. And this is a time when people didn't have the internet or weren't as free thinking. They were so like, what you heard from other people or what you read on the, in a book.
Yeah.
What you heard from word of mouth was the only way you knew about things. So like, imagine the stress on an individual about if they thought about sex, they wouldn't have been able to think about it as well as we can think about it nowadays.
Yeah, of course they'd be completely in their own heads, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Wow. So it would obviously affect them like immensely.
Yeah.
And like it's down to literally your human core, isn't it? It's like you just said, like I've never actually heard it being described like that. It being like your kind of life's blood, like your soul of like, it's something that every person needs, you know?
Yeah. Cause I mean, in a sense it's life, isn't it? It's like, without sex, there is no life. Like, yeah, and everything needs to have sex. Unless, I mean, like, bacteria and all that, they split on their own, asexual. But, like, some things, I mean, that needs to happen for life. So life comes from that. So, I mean, if you're in some way in your mind, you're confusing that primal instinct, that you're thinking about it too much. And, like, you know, like what we talked about last week, all the fetishes and all that, like, you're getting really confused and you're thinking, oh, I like this, this sort of thing, this is it, but that's you twisting your life energy in a different way than it's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's why like Freud and people like Osho, a few other spiritual teachers used to think that like homosexuality is a mental illness, because they thought it was a twisting of the sexual energy. It was coming out the wrong way. But then I mean, today it's all been like, that's not true.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, it is mad. Like it's like, I always say this in like the podcast, I say it to everyone, like sex is the most important thing in the world, but it genuinely is. Like, you know, it's not just about like the superficial side of it, like just enjoying sex and being sexually free. It's like, it comes down to that carnal thing that, you know, like you just said, sex is life.
Mm-hmm.
And without it, we wouldn't be, right? So like, it's not just about me, oh yeah, I just love a fucking fist in my asshole, and if I don't get that, then I'm really like sexually frustrated. It's just like, it's feeling, for me, sex is like feeling like, if you're with one partner or a partner, or even just, not one just for forever, it's just like at that moment, you want to feel that you can just express yourself, right? And not be judged for it.
True. Yeah.
With that person, because it's such a personal moment, isn't it? And so like, imagine if you're married to a dude, or you're like, you're born into a society where you as a woman can't express yourself and you have to hide parts of yourself, and that would send a person crazy, right?
Yeah, that would.
So hence hysteria. Yeah. Like that's a thing.
my reading.
So what happened in medieval times then? Tell us a little bit about that.
So like, I mean, even in Greek times, so that's before medieval. So like in yeah, the Greeks, some of them, like some of the smart people, like Hippocrates, Plato, they kind of realized that it was maybe a lack of a normal sexual life.
Right.
They had this idea of that. And so there were different cures where, you know, women were allowed to have sex. Like, I mean, they were not allowed to, but like it was understood that that was probably why hysteria was being caused. And then again, they were doing strange things. Again, they were doing sort of strange herbs, rituals, trying to get this out of the system.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think one of the things that really worked was trying to get just women just to have sex.
Basically, if in doubt, fuck. Just have a great time. Yeah. Right. And throughout the ages, they kind of come to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it took a while. So middle ages, that's when it got really bad.
Right.
I mean, I think even a little bit more after that. So, I mean, when Christianity was big, then again, I mean, so sex again viewed as like sin. Like it was okay to have sex, to have a child, but then like sex outside of that was seen as a sin. And like for some reason, women were tied to that more than men. Like again, with that patriarchal sort of society where men, the word of a man was viewed more, like, had more weight than that of a woman.
Yeah, right, of course.
And so like, that's when these things about witchcraft and all that sort of things came about.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking that now, like hysteria. Yeah, it could be like a witch, yeah. Like be seen as being a witch as well. That might have been part of it.
Yeah, we don't know what happened back then. Yeah.
Wow.
So they tied this sinning and all to the devil, and yeah, that's why you got witchcraft and all from that.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. So basically, these women all burned at the stake back in the medieval times. It's all because they were just...
They could have been hysterical. Yeah.
Oh, no, wow. Makes more sense now.
Or they could have been like, they're trying to fight the system, and then they could have also been,
yeah. Yeah, imagine if it were. It could literally be down to like, you know, a woman trying to grab their husband's dick under the table and feeling pretty frisky and horny. Be like, no, you are a devil woman, devil witch, burn her at the stake for touching the dick.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Shit, man. Yeah. That's rough. That is rough.
Yeah, can you imagine living such a... But there is there's a school of thought that says that, I mean, there was like a sort of a matriarchal, sort of a more feminine thing going on back then. And I mean, maybe in secretly, kind of like what I was talking about last week about the left-hand part and that sort of being a more like feminine sort of sect of Hinduism.
Yeah.
In those things, women were viewed as divine, like, so they had more powers than men.
Yep.
They were more powerful. Yep. Just because of being born a woman, they were more powerful. So there are some people, some of the religious, like spiritual teachers that I do listen to or read, who think that there was a shift at that time when the matriarchy was like stamped out for good with when they brought in witchcraft and witch hunts and basically erasing that feminine knowledge from our society. It still lives today. I mean, like secretly, like it is coming up, but they think maybe at that point that was when they really tried their best to erase that energy from the world.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it? And make men like the forefront of society, like even more so than it already was. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's such a lot. Hysteria fascinates me. Like how, I mean, even the fact that Freud, like it just doesn't seem that long ago, thought that homosexuality was an illness. Like that for me is just so foreign. Like and it wasn't even so long ago. Like it's just like what?
No, it's not too long ago at all.
Like it baffles me. Like moving on from that. So like we were talking a little bit of, well, we actually got a little bit into it last week. With kinks, like the history of kink and then BDSM and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated about BDSM. I'm fascinated about like S&M, all that kind of stuff. Like, tell me a little bit about like what we kind of touched on it a bit earlier before we got on this call. But like, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the psychology behind that because that fascinates me.
Behind S&M or S&M? Interesting.
Where does that come from, Dr. Kink? I mean, you are a doctor of kink, so I'm literally.
I don't know, really. That's a title you. title that you've given me.
You need to know everything about this shit, babe. This is why we have you on here. I'm literally like dragging every little bit I can out of you before we have to let you go. So yeah, literally penetrate me with your knowledge.
I mean, okay, because that was the most interesting. The word like sadism, sadomasochism, like sadism, that's like wanting to cause pain. And then masochism, those who want to, they get sexual gratification from being abused or getting hurt, humiliated, whatever. Yeah. They might, many different ways, that many different things they might like. So sadism, that word comes from actually a man's name. Freud actually coined both of it, sadism and masochism. Like he came up with both those names and he got the word sadism from this guy called the Marquis de Sade. He's like a French aristocrat.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, and remember that movie I talked to you about?
Which one?
The 120 Days of Sodom, or the Italian one, Salo.
Yes, yes. Okay, everybody who hasn't seen this, I watched the trailer.
Yes, yes. I wouldn't recommend. don't watch it.
It's been banned in every country in the world and it's mental. So yeah, I haven't watched it yet and I really plan on doing so. But yeah, the Marquis de Sade, I've heard of him.
So he actually wrote that book that became that movie.
That's how I've heard of him!
Yeah, he was crazy. I think he wrote it in the last, like when he was going to die, he was in prison. He was in prison a lot because he did lots of really crazy things. I think he killed people. Great people did lots of, yeah, wild.
All
so that's why, that's where sadism comes from.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that Freud, we're talking about him again, little fucking wanker. Literally, he like, I literally had dreams about that prick after we fucking spoke about him last week, loads and loads and loads.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm
just like, I find it fascinating how one person can be so sensical in some things and just so fucking off base in others. But, anyway, so sadism and then masochism.
Yeah, that again was the name of I think it's again another nobleman writer, Austrian guy this time.
Right.
I think he wrote stories where he explored his masochistic fantasies.
Wow.
So Freud put sadism from Sartre and masochism from this guy.
Yeah,
Leopold. I think that's his name.
Right. Okay. So I'm gonna look him up. I'm writing him down because I'm really into this shit. So basically, I love a good. I was talking about this a second ago. On the bit of the podcast you haven't listened to yet, but I love a strangle. I love a smack. I love a little cane. All of that shit. I mean, I don't love it to the point of bleeding, but what does that mean to me? Yeah. What does that mean? Does that mean I didn't shit myself enough when I was a kid? Does it mean I pissed on some dog in the street? What does that mean?
This is different.
Right, okay.
So this is like, so they try to say, again, it's, I mean, it could, again, like when we talked about paraphilia last week, the fetishes, yeah. We talked about how there could be, again, a strong early life experience and then also very strong arousal, like the movie that we watched. So she was going through like something really like traumatic as a child, like getting beaten, but from yeah, and then getting sexually aroused by that. So that would became like a really serious sort of very, very deep-rooted like fetish. Right. In other people, what they think about is the psychology of it is like, I mean, sounds seems kind of basic. I don't know where, but it's more like, so a person who in their life is very like, you know, always in control of things in their life. They're very on top of things in their own life. They talk about people being fairly like, rich, well off. I mean, these are people who are really into S&M, right? Not like light, not like, yeah, like
serious players.
They tend to They tend to come from more like affluent backgrounds. They also tend to generally be more Caucasian, more like white.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
So they live in social circles where they are always in control. They're at the top of the, maybe they're the rich, or they're working pretty solid jobs where they're, you know, they have they need to perform to a very high level.
Right.
And then for them, they would be more interested maybe in masochism. So the fact of losing control is probably like a fantasy of theirs. And so when they play it out when they meet people like them and they want to explore these things, they get a release from being out of control. of losing control.
Yeah. That's weird, isn't it? That's a...
They talk about them. People are experiencing feelings of like they feel really light. They let go of like there's no. They don't feel the pain as much. They're like really like ecstatic. Whole body's like buzzing when they do things like this.
Yeah, it's crazy because I've watched and I've been in dungeons before, and I worked as a dominatrix for a little bit. And I to witness it, it's like the reaction that comes from a flogging. Like, and we're not just talking like a little flog. We're talking like a big bad daddy flog with like blood and shit everywhere. It's like they look like they're really enjoying themselves, and it's like just like what you said. It must be some sort of release of like anal tension. Like, do you know what I mean? Like. Being really, really uptight and like you said, really like in control in their day jobs. Like, I mean, I talked about my sugar daddy, didn't I, in one of the podcasts? And he was very high up the food chain.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, similar sort of story, wasn't he? He was like very very someone quite high up at the top.
Yeah, and like was always telling everybody else what to do, and then he just wanted to be told what to do and how to feel and. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so for him, that was, and I completely understood it, you know?
So like letting go of that power, like giving it up for a while.
Yeah, that like, power change, I think. Yeah, must get.
Yeah, that's what they talk about, power.
That's mad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then the people who like to inflict pain, like the sadists.
Yeah.
Apparently they go into like, so like, you know, when you're like exercising, you're cycling or you're, whatever you're doing, running, when you get into the zone and you're like just doing it, you know, not thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
Sadists, they like to get into that zone. That's where they get their high from.
What? Just going for it.
It's like they don't think and they just go for it. That's their high. And so the masochists have this more like release, like letting go, and the sadists just go and it's like, just charge on doing whatever.
Not thinking about the consequences kind of thing.
No.
Wow. I mean, I can't. I can actually say this, but like firsthand, like when I was inflicting pain on someone who you know, no matter how hard you pushed, they would. It would. There would never be a stop. You know, like you know when you're, I don't know, for having sex with someone, or you're in a relationship, an intimate relationship with anyone, you always got to be careful about hurting someone's feelings, right? In some form.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
I knew that like in this form, in this space, I could never hurt him. It would never be, he would never give me a safe word. He was always just go for it. Now that was quite a feeling. And I can't say that like I was in one of those highs, I wouldn't say. I mean, it wasn't really my natural natural place, but it was quite a liberating feeling to feel like, oh, okay, well, I'm never going to get this wrong. It's always just going to be good. You know?
Yeah.
I can't explain it. I can kind of get that.
Intense experience.
Huh?
Yeah, that's an intense experience.
Yeah, really intense, really intense. I've never had anything like that before. After.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I totally get that. Like that's from both sides. But have you ever personally like ever felt into any of that?
No, I wouldn't say. So.
No, it's not really your thing.
I don't associate like the, I know like they say pleasure and pain are very close to each other, like in the feelings that you can get. So like really intense pain, you can lose all thought, like lose everything, and you're just in that pain. And even pleasure is like you lose every like in that those kinds of states, but I've never really, not pain. I don't associate it with like with sex, maybe.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Okay, no. So Dr. King, this is a freaking question. Do you have any kinks? Because obviously, no one's gonna know it's you. This is completely anonymous. So, in a safe space, do you have any kinks, Dr. King? So I don't think anyone's actually completely vanilla. So,
yeah, no one is. My kinks. On the spot.
You, we've got all night, baby. You can think as long as you like. It can literally be anything from like, I just love a fucking drippy water on my toes, or I just love, I don't know, thinking about big gaping assholes when I come, or whatever. Like, it's just like, what's your thing? What turns you on?
Well, like, I mean, really, if I had to, it would be like quite really, if it's sex, and it's got to be like
good,
intense. It's got to be messy.
It's got to be messy.
Like, yeah, like sweaty and everything, and like it's got to be intense. Like,
yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, and kink wise, I mean, like, see, what I try not to do is I try not to put any pre lot of sort of like things in front of like what like. But if you, yeah, I mean, in front of like, so I mean, when you see, when you watch porn, that's a different thing. That's like a fantasy. You're watching it on the screen. It's happening in your head.
Right.
To me, I don't know. I see it like this. But when I want to have sex with someone, that's a different sort of idea. That's like, it's happening outside of my head. I'm connecting with somebody else.
Yeah.
I can't be inside my head. I need to be outside, present in that moment. Yeah. But if it's your fantasies, like if you're watching porn and then there are things that you like, I would have to say like, anal sex, like that kind of stuff, that thing, like watching that's a thing for you. Yeah, and then
This is why we get on so well.
Sometimes, like a slightly dominant woman is also a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
This is why we get not on like, so you know, well.
Not all the way to S&M sort of levels, but like, yeah.
Really, that's really interesting, isn't it? It's because like you are quite obviously you're quite controlling your everyday life too, right? Like, so as a professional man, you are quite professional in your everyday life. Like, so in a way, it might be on a little scale, on like a much smaller scale.
Yeah. Now I was thinking about that when I was talking. Yeah, like a small scale, I'd like to be like, just let go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I will charge you for the session afterwards, because this therapy session costs you £150. Okay, you can pay on your way out. I'm kidding. But no, seriously, like I think it might be that on a small scale.
Yeah. No. Definitely. Yeah.
And like anal as well. Like, yeah. Like I said, it's probably like why we get on so well, because you just talk about arseholes all the time. Do you know what I mean? We found our sweet spot, Dr. Kink.
Mm-hmm.
For real. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's everyone's got them, haven't they? And everyone's got their little thing. They're like, oh yeah, that just does it for me. And like, whether it's arseholes, whether it's toes, whether it's pissing, shitting, vomiting even. I mean, I had a guy ask me to vomit. Like, did I tell you about this already?
Yeah, I think you did. That's intense.
That's just like a lot, but you know, if that's what does it for you and you're not hurting anyone else and it's consensual, just fucking go for it. And like, that's the thing about this podcast. It's just like, as I will flog again. We are all about that on this podcast. Just like, enjoying things and not hurting anyone else and just living your best sexual life.
Mm.
I feel you. What was the last thing that we were going to talk about? So I think we kind of touched on it a bit last week.
Yeah, I think I didn't explain myself very well in the last one. It got a bit choppy here and there. We jumped a bit, and then some of it may have sounded quite crazy and wild, but we could come back to that. But some of it is actually quite crazy and wild.
Yeah, this is why we're having you back, though, because we're not about the same shit here. So yeah, go for it. Word vomit all over my face. Go for it.
So, okay, this is so like last week I was talking about the left hand part.
Yeah.
Of left hand part of tantra.
Yeah.
Like, we can go back into talking to. Again, like tantra is, again, there's a big misconception all over the world, even amongst Indians and all. Everyone just associates tantra with sex straight away.
Yeah.
But tantra is not that. Tantra is, again, the manipulation of your body's energy. So the energy meridians and the chakras in your body that you can manipulate, access different dimensions with it. So tantra is that. And then you have, like, we were talking about the left-hand part. So the right-hand part is what all religious people strive to do. They try to control all their senses, control everything, sublimate all the energies, take it in and raise it to high levels.
Yep.
But that doesn't necessarily work for everyone, and it's not that easy as well.
That is true. That is really true.
yeah, it was not very easy. I don't think even for lots of priests haven't found it very easy. Been caught doing lots of
things. Literally, as we've heard. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the left-hand part, what it talks about is, again, the left-hand tantra is, like we said, using things external to you to get your body to other states of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Again, talking about the other states of consciousness, what we need to understand is like there are two currents that are running in the body. Okay, this is not, this does not have anything to do with medicine. These are my own own readings. I'm just talking to you not from that point.
Yeah, but tantra, like isn't medical though, is it? It's not a medical. It's not like a.
No, it's not. But I really think they should somehow maybe tie that up, like the Eastern medicine, Eastern philosophies with medicine and science.
Yeah,
I think there's lots there.
Maybe you could be pioneer it. But no, I totally, I've read so much about it since you've spoken to me about it last week on the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to mm-hmm. think that people think about tantric sex as being this, you know, deep fucked up sexual, you know, mm-hmm. experience of just like holes, yeah. holes, dick and hole. But it's yeah, yeah. so far from that. And talking about left hand path and the different. Was it the different chakras in the body?
And
tying them up.
So that if you've got energy, you've got currents in your body. There are three main ones that run in your body. There's one that goes up to the right hand side of your body, and then it crosses over up in your brain to the left brain. Right. So just like how your nerves and neurons actually do in real life, like how the right side of your body is controlled by the left side of your brain. Just like that, you've got a current, and this current is like a masculine current. It's a very strong, aggressive current. It's called like the Pingala current. It's the same as the yin and yang. So yin is the masculine one. So like that, it's called in Sanskrit, it's called the Pingala current. It runs down up the right side and into the left brain. So aggressive, masculine current. And then on your left side, you cover running up the left side of your body, you've got the feminine current, the Ida current. This is represented by the moon and that sort of thing. And it goes up and it goes into your right brain. So these two currents need to be in good working order for a person to be healthy. It balances out the positive and negative of the body, the yin and the yang of the body, because the masculine current is very aggressive, very strong, like goes and does things and is very intense and not very empathetic. So people who are very strong in that current find it very hard to like if their current is like really overpowered, they're not able to talk to they're very intense people, and if their current is not very strong, they find it very hard to make themselves heard. And the same with the other side, like the feminine side. If that one's very strong, you become overly empathetic, like overly sad and very emotional.
Right.
But if it's also very weak, then it's kind of like you're not very in tune with your emotions, and things can go get messed up. So you need these two things to be correct. And when they are correct, you're like a proper human, that's when your body is like fit, healthy, and then you can pursue other things from there.
Right.
And then that's when you have your third current in your body, like the Kundalini, like the main one. So that can only rise when these two have been corrected.
And they're balanced.
Yeah, they're balanced. So then the Kundalini can rise. And when the Kundalini rises, it goes through the different chakras. So like the first chakra down at your base, at the root of the spine, like the Muladhara chakra.
Yeah.
Supposed to be like Lord Ganesha's seat. It's where your memory lives, your fear, your karma, the sexual energies, they all live in that chakra.
Whereabouts is that on the body?
And the at the sacrum.
Where's that?
So right, you know, you're at the bottom of your spine.
Oh, okay, right at the bottom in your asshole, basically.
Yeah, right down there. Actually, they kind of also say it's like, yeah, right down there, or could be perineum. I need to double check
in
that.
In your asshole.
But yeah, somewhere. Like down at the bottom. Okay, so there's a chakra there, energy center. And then it goes up, I think more like, not solar plexus, but more like the pubic bone area that you have the next one. Right. The next chakra, Swadhisthana chakra. That's like, that chakra helps you with your intellect and reason. So it helps you with thinking, how to define this, that, you know, compare things. I have like, this is more money than that, more money. This is more colorful than that, that is less colorful. Like it gives you that reason you need to be active in that chakra for your reason, for intellect to actually work pretty decently. And then the following chakra is like at your solar plexus,
right?
It's called the Manipura chakra. That gives you your strength to go and like do things outside in the world. Like, that's where your ego, seat of the ego is. So you basically, what most of the gurus and spiritual teachers say, like, most human beings live in these three chakras.
Yeah.
That's where the maximum, that's where they kind of live up to.
It fascinates me. Is it that Idas current on the left?
Yeah.
So it's only when so let me get this right. So it's only when the left and the right are like in a balance where the bottom current can then flow into these like currents in your asshole. This is basically what you're saying, right?
No, I mean, it's not a current in your asshole. So you've got like the imaginary things on the side in like your nervous system. We don't know, but there are apparently energy meridians that run through.
Right.
And they are by both sides. And then you have the Kundalini is like in the middle. So at the base of your spine, so where the Muladhara chakra is, apparently the Kundalini is like is a serpent. And it's coiled and it lives down at the bottom.
So what happens then? You know, we were talking about the Pisces moon coming up.
Yeah.
What the fuck happens then when the female current on the left-hand side gets pulled from the moon? Then what happens to your asshole chakra?
It wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't do anything to you. But at the same time, you see that when the moon is high, moon is strong, your Ida current is also stronger.
Oh, is it?
So it could make you more sexual, more emotional at these times.
So I see. So they say that when the moon is full, that's when the women witches come out and they lose their mind because their current in their arsehole is going crazy. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, it's not a current in the arsehole. So there's a chakra. A chakra is like a spinning wheel. It's like apparently it's like a portal to a dimension. So that dimension deals with memory and karma and sexual energies, and it's all down in that chakra.
Fuck me, you're literally blowing my mind. There's now a black hole in my asshole that I have to think about every time I have sex.
It's very subtle. It's not like literally in the asshole. It's like it's about them, but it's a very subtle dimension. Like most people are living in that sort of like dimension, and then you move up, and then you're like in the intellectual dimension. Then you move up again, and then you're in the more like egotistical kind of dimension.
Right.
And then, so when the Ida and Pingala Karana settle, then your Kundalini can rise, and you make that rise through various methods, and those methods is Tantra.
So what can women do, and men, I'm sure, because it must affect lots of people, when the moon is high, right? Because lots of women go, like, literally all my friends, when they're having a funny little moment, they're like, yes, yeah, the full moon. It's a full moon. I'm like, no, you're just a crazy bitch. But no, it's a full moon.
I mean, what they say is like, again, see, coming from like a very sort of traditional Hindu background, what I've learned is from like sort of a more right-hand part of Hinduism, they tell people to basically like, when there's a full moon, you basically like fast. You restrict yourself from doing lots of things so that you don't get pulled by these energies too strongly.
Does that mean not have sex as well?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Like when the moon's high, like kind of control all these things, like don't do all these things. But that is not easy in the modern world. That is not something people can really live, like not eat. Like, I mean, people are working. Like, that's why we have this left-hand path, which is way more interesting. And it allows you to do lots of things.
Basically, just be a woman, on your left-hand path.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's what I'm saying.
Fuck. That's literally fascinating. So what can I do? So Dr. King, help me, because the moon is full. I'm a Pisces. Yeah. The moon is in Pisces, and I'm feeling fucking funky. So tell me what to do. Do I have to like stimulate my? I know you're gonna hate it. My black asshole fucking whole chakra.
Oh,
what
no,
do
no,
I do? Well, stop feeling so emotional.
I don't know. You have to either go with it. If it's the left hand part, it's experiential. You go with it. Like, you go with your emotions. You go. You do it. Do stuff. Like, get it done. That's what they do.
Fuck. Maybe I just need to go and have a little cry then and just wail about. Howl at the moon and talk about my fucking hysterectomy that needs to be fucking happening or some shit. I don't know.
I mean, you have a doctor on the other side. They can always call a doctor to come help.
Oh, I'll call you Dr. King. I know where you live. Don't you worry about it.
I do home visits for the sick.
Oh, yes, babe. Well, I mean, maybe you do need to work off this fucking therapy session that I'm pretty much giving you for free, because this is actually helping me a lot. Literally, Dr. King, I want to thank you for being here again. Yep. I could literally chew your ear off and all of your holes off literally about this like for hours. I absolutely have loved having you on here.
No, I've really enjoyed coming on to talk to you about these
things. Honestly,
it's been very nice.
Such a nice refreshing change to like have a conversation about such like different things, I guess. Things that people don't really want to really understand or touch on from someone who's so knowledgeable. So thank you for being here with us. And
thank you for thinking I'm knowledgeable.
And making this moon, me understanding this moon a bit.
Yeah, thank you. Understand it. Yeah.
I'm gonna go off and howl now. Howl and play moon. With my arsehole. you've inspired me. thank you so much, Dr. King. We will see you again soon.
No, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
There we have it, guys. That is the finale, part 2 of 2, with my kink a lot. Freaking loved having him on the show. He's been so informative and so freaking fun. We're probably going to go back to the usual customer and slut situation, no longer doctor and patient. But I mean, I've learned a lot. I hope you guys have too. And next week we're going to be out here in the wilderness talking about loads more other weird shit. So please freaking tune in next freaking hump day to Stripper Stories. We're gonna have a lot to talk about. Trust me. Trust me. I'm gonna be jizzing all over your faces then. So until then, guys, I will see you next motherfucking Wednesday. Bye, bye, bye.